My prayer, as always, is that God's grace and his peace and his mercy would be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. I have another boy. He started a paper route, or maybe I switch stories in my sermon. Sometimes I write these things ahead of time, and I forget which ones I leave in and take out. But this boy had just started his first paper route. He was eager to tell everybody about the struggles that he endured because of his very hard job. He said, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I get dressed, Mom makes me breakfast, and then just as I'm leaving for work, Dad is finally getting out of bed, and Mom fixes him breakfast too. And when I get home, Mom has lunch on the table, and I'm so tired by then I can hardly eat. Oh, work is so exhausting. When asked if his mom had a job too, he said, nah, Mom just cleans the house and runs to the store and then takes care of the other kids and washes the clothes and some other stuff. She ain't got no job. Yeah. The boy mostly liked to talk about getting paid. What about Mom, though? What does Mom get paid? Mom get paid? Mom don't get paid. She ain't got no job. She don't do no work. Yeah, I hear the laughter out there. I'm sure every one of you knows this little boy just didn't really get the plan, right? You know moms do plenty of work, even though they don't have their name on any particular, necessarily don't have their name on a company's payroll. The whole family is clothed and fed and comforted. The children are taught about Jesus because she and her devotion and her dedication, and really above all, her love, keeps on doing what she's doing. Not got a job. The truth is, she has maybe one of the most important jobs of all. It's just sometimes those who should don't always realize it. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, Pastor, you did get your stories mixed up. That was probably when you were planning to save for Mother's Day. It's not. It's precisely because we're celebrating the 4th of July this past week that I'm telling you about this account. I think you can recognize how much this boy underestimated the value of work that his mother did. Isn't God underestimated the same way? God understands because so many these days are saying things like, God don't need to get paid. God ain't got no job. God don't do no work, just like that little boy. That's what too many in our nation's capital sadly often believe, isn't it? I mean, we see that too often. And it'd be easier for them to make their point and maybe even convince people of that point if it weren't for things like the Washington Monument, which by law is the tallest building in D.C. It does kind of keep getting in the way. At the very top of that monument are two Latin words, Laus Deo, which means praise be to God. You see the same things carved in stone and in monuments and in placards all over that city. Some might say, well, what's carved in all those stones and placards and what's carved on the top of the monument, that doesn't really matter because our founding fathers weren't good Christians at all. Well, and you know, there's part of the truth. That is partly true. Some of the founding fathers did have more than just questionable morality. And some, quite frankly, embraced a style of worship that was kind of just like wandering like a lost traveler. But most of them did recognize that God ruled over things of men and nations. In fact, the most quoted book in all of the documents and writings of our founding fathers is the Bible. And they quote it constantly. If you know your Bible really well and you start reading some of the letters and the speeches that these founding fathers gave, you will see the Word of God woven into that so seamlessly and so smoothly that unless you know your Bible, you miss it. But it's always there. But some will say, God ain't got no job. God don't do no work. Well, tell that to George Washington. In Washington's diary, in his very own hand, you can read these words. Let my heart, gracious God, so be affected with your glory and majesty that I may discharge those weighty duties which thou requirest of me. Again, I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of sins for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered on the cross for me. Thou gavest thy Son to die for me and hast given me assurance of my salvation. George Washington. Tell George Washington, God ain't got no job. God don't do no work. How about John Jay, very first Chief Justice of our Supreme Court? He wrote in 1816 that the duty of our Christian nation is to select and prefer Christians for our rulers. Justice David Brewer, 75 years later, wrote, this is a religious people, this is a Christian nation. Justice Earl Warren wrote, I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been our guiding intellect. I like to believe we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. I also like to believe that as long as we do so, no harm, no great harm can come to our country. Almost sounds foreign to what we often hear coming from our legislative and judicial and executive branches at times, doesn't it? God ain't got no job. God don't do no work. Tell that to the Continental Congress, who on September 11, 1777, ordered 20,000 Bibles from Scotland for use in the public school systems. Tell that to the Congress of the Confederation, who on September 10, 1782, approved the printing of Bibles here in the States, in that new fledgling nation, for the use of teaching in the public schools. Of course, such things would never go unquestioned these days, but people questioned them even then. The difference was back then, when the government was asked to remove the Bibles and use something else, this was the unanimous decision handed down by the Supreme Court. Why should not the Bible, and especially the New Testament, be read and taught as a divine revelation in the schools? Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament? They thought God had a job back then. That's what we've been told about our founding fathers. What we've been told that they believe that they didn't, we have been told that they didn't really grab onto this stuff. They didn't really believe this stuff. It was just sort of in the background. But the more you read of what they wrote, the more you see how much they really did believe. And many, many, many of them really did adhere to and believe in the truths of the Christian faith. We've been told many other things. And quite honestly, those things are profoundly wrong on many accounts. First, they're wrong because they're just not true, that these guys were all whatever. They name them different things, atheists, deists, all that. It is just not true. It's also wrong because anytime we deploy our troops around the world, we do find that God has a job, don't we? We ask him to bring us success in our endeavors. We ask that he would bring our sons and daughters home safely. But we're taught God doesn't have a job. When a plane crashes or terrorists attack or the earthquakes that are out in California right now, don't we very quickly find a job for God to do? But what's sad is as soon as things calm down, the word goes out again. God don't do no work. God ain't got no job. You realize that if that is true, and well, then you and I are here completely on our own. We have no one to lean on. And maybe that's no wonder that people these days believe that they have so little hope for their future. They see the greed of humanity, the hatred of their fellow man. They see the cruelty, the envy. They see the selfishness, the gossip, and the pride. And they think, what's the point, right? If we're on our own, then there's no reason to hope or dream in anything. There's no reason to believe that anything could possibly ever get any better. If God's got no job, then Lincoln was wrong. And the dead of Gettysburg and of all the battlefields of America are filled with the bodies of those who died in vain. If God's not involved, then there's no decision that we can make, right or wrong, because there's no point, right? If God has no job, we're left to the mercies of ourselves and our own institutions, and sadly, ourselves and our own institutions have often proven themselves to be more prone to fail the people around them and us than to help them, right? If we really believe God's got no job, and sadly so many people do believe that, it's a wonder that, maybe it's no wonder that often corporate executives profit at the expense of those beneath them rather than carrying those beneath them who work for them and with them along with them. It's no wonder that often the drug dealers in certain neighborhoods are the most influential people in their neighborhoods. It's maybe no wonder that so many graduation speeches are, I can do whatever I want if I try hard enough, as long as I'm loyal to myself. Albert Willis would not understand that kind of thinking. Now, you probably haven't heard of Albert Willis, but he knew that God had a job and God had something to do. He was a member of the Confederacy in a group called Mosby's Raiders, and he had a companion who, unfortunately, in the account that records this event, never gets named. We don't know what his name is, but both of them were captured and sentenced to be hanged. Willis had been studying to be a pastor, and so he was offered an exemption, what's called a chaplaincy exemption. He would not be executed, be allowed to go free, but his friend wouldn't. And knowing that his friend was married and had children, and Willis didn't, he gave his chaplaincy exemption to his friend. And Willis entrusted his soul to his Savior, and then was hanged in the place of his friend. During the Civil War on both sides, there were many men and women like Willis who knew their God and they knew their duty and they did their best to serve both. The truth is, throughout this country's history, we have been blessed by many such people, and that's why maybe it's so sad to see that now there's this generation coming up that says patriotism is pathetic, that sacrifice is silly, that loyalty to our nation is just lame, and heroes, they're just people who should be listed among the suckers that are born every moment. I don't think so, right? God does have a job. God's job, however, is not to have rule and policy, position and legislation being written to compel people into Christianity. That is not the purpose of our nation and their leaders. God has a job to do. And no matter what some might say, God's job is not to dress himself in our flag, not by any means, right? God's powerful play that we talked about a couple Sundays ago, most simply stated, is this: God's plan is to save your soul so that you can be forgiven in this life and give hope of heaven in the next, not only for yourself, but to those who are around you. To do that, God sent his Son into the world to do just that, to save the world, to live a life that resisted some of the most troublesome temptations that probably anyone has ever endured. Sometimes we like to think Jesus had it easy. I don't think Satan gave him a pass on anything. He wanted Jesus to fail, and I bet he came at him with everything he had. But Jesus never failed. Jesus was betrayed by his friends. He saw his church and his government and his country turn their backs on him. He was beaten. He was whipped viciously. He was spit on, crowned with thorns, then nailed to posts and left for dead. What is God's job? Nothing less than saving you from yourself and from the world and from the devil, and ultimately saving you from death. When Washington and Jefferson, Adams and Franklin were alive, it was God's work to touch their lives and touch them with that saving message of salvation. When Lincoln and Lee walked among us, the Lord did his work, summoning all to be servants of the cross. To all of these and all who held any position of rank or authority since then, God has had only one message for them. It's the same message he has for all of us, and that is this: simply repent and believe in your Savior. Now, the time of those leaders has passed, and whether they were truly Christians and put their faith in Christ or not really doesn't matter for us any longer, does it? I mean, there's nothing we can do about it at this point. Their lives are written in the annals of history, and their place for eternity is written or not written in the book that matters, the book of life. No more can be done or said for them, but God's work still goes on. It goes on for us. It goes on for you. God still does have a job for us to do, and God has a job to do for us, right? In every community, town, and burg, in every house and apartment, and even in every RV, God continues to work. He wants everyone to know his love for us. He sent his Son to pay the price for us. God's work continues on even now as he calls all of us from that darkness that blinds us to the light that helps us see the truth of Jesus Christ. He calls us from darkness to light. He calls us from hell to heaven. He calls us from despair to enjoy the wonders of the divine. And maybe that's why it is so sad that so many citizens in this great nation would prefer to avoid all of that, to live their lives in darkness and to keep their citizenship out of heaven. Not only will they persist, but they'll be lost, right? Though they're sincere in what they really want to believe, they're sincerely wrong in what they want to believe. They refuse the results of the Redeemer's remedy. But you folks, right, don't be like that. Though we are surrounded by people who have hatred for God, there is no belief and no belief in his ongoing work, we do need to endure the challenges of life. It's hard to remain firm when so many around you are trying to pull you down. It's difficult to walk that narrow road Jesus has laid when so many are so eager to lure you to one side or the other. When we do live in a country whose conscience seems to have grown cold, though it can be discouraging, I encourage you to do what Jesus said to do. And that's this: simply carry your cross, stay close to Christ, cling to that cross, because your actions bear witness to the truth. God's powerful play goes on. Your joy against the world's contempt makes a difference. Your confidence says Jesus really is in charge. And when people need to hear that, you're the one they're going to come to because you've shown it in what you do. You might be content with your work, your home, or your community and your country. You may think God's got nothing to do with you or anyone else. You may believe that sincerely. But again, if you really believe God's got no place in this world or in your life, you can be sincerely wrong. If, however, you don't like what you see in the world, if you feel that things should be different in yourself and your family and your nation, there's only one place you can go to really make that difference, and that's in the Savior. And what his job is just doing that, saving you, erasing your sins and your sadness, and giving you something better, something to lean on, something to hope in. And I pray that hope and peace would be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.